What he's passing out is just a little bitty handout that I made earlier. We're going to be discussing a couple of things. Actually, one of them is a paradox, so we're going to be talking about that tonight. It's amazing how God works out everything to where, even though we didn't plan it, it all is working out. The song that we started off with, and then his message, and then my message is all going to tie into one thing. If you would, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6. Now, when I teach, I like to do a question and answer type thing, so I'm going to try and get you involved as much as possible. I ask questions. You don't have to answer them back, but if you want to, you can. The first question is, how many people have debt in your life? You owe something. The bad thing is some of the kids raise their hands, too, so I'm wondering how many of them have a credit card or something like that. What we're going to talk about tonight is a debt that we owe. And I don't know how many of you have been through that, but when you buy something, you have to pay for it, and you make all of these payments. And then when you get it paid off and you get that slip of paper that says paid in full, that's one of the happiest days of your life, especially if it's a car or a house or a doctor bill or whatever it may be. When you see that it's paid in full, that's the greatest time of your life because you know that that debt right there is finished. They can't come back to you and say, well, you owe a little bit more. Well, you didn't pay this interest right here. And they can't do that because you have this piece of paper. I went through Dave Ramsey's class, and one thing that he's taught me is, owe no man nothing. Right now I owe a house payment, but that's about all that we owe right now. But I hate debt. And we're going to talk about a debt that we owed at one time. We do not owe it now, but we did owe it at one time. And it was a debt that we did not want, we did not need, we did not desire it. So we're going to look at that. Let's go ahead and start with Romans chapter 6. And we're going to be in verse 23. And I'm just going to read the first part of the verse, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. The first part says, for the wages of sin is death. And there is a wage or a debt that we owe, like I've already stated. We look at the physical and we see the debts that we owe and they pile up, and month after month we have to write out these checks. Or if you're one of these sophisticated people, you do bank draft or you have a debit card or anything like that. And you use those things to pay your debt. But it seems like every single month you have that same debt coming over, especially if it's a utility or a house payment. You're continuing to pay those things over and over. Health insurance is another one. So the questions are going to be, and this is the first one, are we able to pay this wage of sin, this payment of sin? Are we able to pay that debt that we owe? And the answer is, actually, yes, we are able to pay it. The question is, do we want to pay it the way that God demands it? And we're going to look at that tonight, that I sure don't. I don't know if anybody else does or not. We have a twofold problem, which is we have something we do not want, and what would that be as far as humanity and mankind? Sin. And then the next part of that twofold problem is we need something we do not have, which is, what would that be? Righteousness or perfection. So that's the twofold problem that we have. We have sin, and we need perfection or righteousness. So two questions. And you don't have to answer these because we're going to answer it in the message anyway. How can we get rid of our sin, and how can we gain a righteousness equal to God's? The last question that I just asked was, how can we gain a righteousness that is equal to God's? Not a righteousness that is equal to my fellow man or to a dog or whatever you want to say, but my righteousness has to be equal to my Creator, the God who made me. If He's righteous and His standard is Himself, then I have to be at that standard. And we're going to find out tonight that there's only one way that we can be declared righteous. Let's go ahead and look at the latter part of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And this is going to go ahead and give us that paradox of how can we be righteous. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we're going to be looking at our paper, and we're going to be talking about what Jesus Christ, what He accomplished, and why it's so important for us as believers and even as why it's so important for the unbeliever as we talk to those. So the first part of the paper at the very top, the illustration is a certificate of debt. And then if you got on one side, it's got all the debits. Every time you sin, it was written down, it was written down, it was written down as far as mankind in general. And then on the other side, it's got credits. And what we want to have is more credits on one side and less debits on the other side. When I do my bank statement about every time I get paid and I look at it, and I tell my wife, I say, why do we have so many debits and we have hardly any credits coming in? The credits would be my paycheck. The debit would be whatever. It seems like we live at Walmart sometimes, but Walmart loves us. So we see that we're starting to understand these things. Even in the physical world, we can see that there is a debit that is adding up, and there are credits that have to come in to pay for the debits that are going out, and sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we have to borrow money, and then we have to have a debit over here with this whoever we borrowed the money from, and so forth. So, and if you look at the bottom of it, it says to be paid by the holder. Our sin is our sin. As far as in Adam and Eve, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous, no, not one. And this is all because of original sin. And then to compound on that, we have our own individual sins that are being put on top of what Adam and Eve did. So we're guilty as charged, and our debits would be so much that what can we do? There's no way that we can pay these and make our credits outweigh our debits. At the bottom of the little illustration, it's got that verse, the payment of sin is death. In the middle of it, this is what we're going to talk about now. So if you want to go ahead and turn to John chapter 19, and we're just going to read that one verse. Verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. There was a lot of information within this chapter and within the book of John anyway. But I just want to take a look at this one verse and actually just these three words, which in the Greek is only one word, which is on your paper. And it's right in the middle of the paper. And it's you can either pronounce it tetelestai or tetelestai, whichever one you want to pronounce it. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to see that the significance of a word and how it affects a believer. This is just one word. I like to do word studies, and I'll take one word and I'll basically dissect it. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but I'll look at the tense of it, the mood of it. And if you know anything about Greek, you know what those things are. The tense is how it performs, perfect tense, and that's what this is. And it's basically saying that it's an event that happened in the past that has present results, which means it's a continual thing. It's never to be repeated, which is a good thing for us as far as this sin debt that we owe. And it never has to be repeated. So we're going to look at that tonight. The question is, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? And we've read the verse, so we're going to look at the meaning of it. And I thought this was fascinating. This one word has so many different meanings. You can, depending on the context of how somebody used it, it can mean just about anything. But I'm going to use just three different meanings for it, and I think we'll see that in the context of the Scriptures, this is what this one word is talking about. The first one would be a servant reporting to his master upon completing a task. And this is basically a slave coming to his master, and he's saying, "I'm done with what you have told me to do. I've completed it exactly as you told me to, and now it's done." The second one is the completion of a transaction when a debt was paid in full. Ancient receipts for taxes have been found with tetelestai written across them, basically like the bottom picture is showing. So this is, for us in America, this is the one that we understand the best as far as debts and credits and paid in full. We all want what we want. We want to have it right now, but we don't want to have to pay the debts that we owe. I work for a utility company, and I know that a lot of people do not want to pay their debts. Today I would cut off, about 13 people for non-pays, because people, they want what they want. They want it right now, but they don't want to suffer the consequences of that monthly bill coming in. They don't want to pay that debt. So this is a transaction. This is a banking term. And the debt is paid in full. Then you get that certificate and it's saying paid in full. The last one is the selection of an unblemished lamb for the sacrifice in the temple. And when John was writing this, and these Hebrews and these Greeks who would be reading the scriptures at this time, when they came across that one word and they saw what John had written all the way through the first 19 chapters of the book, they understood what John was talking about. They understood that the payment was done. The sacrificial lamb was found and he was perfect, which is Jesus Christ. It wasn't a physical animal. It was the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So we see that these three meanings is what's fulfilling the work on the cross. Joe talked about it a little bit. What happened on the cross? Why did God do what he did? And basically is the paradox is we owe a debt that we cannot pay, and God doesn't owe anything, but he paid the debt for us anyway. Two last questions. I'll probably get done on time. I was sort of like Joe. I was thinking either I'm going to get done early or I'm going to get done late, and that's one reason why I wanted to go last, so that I wouldn't interfere with what Joe had to talk about. Last two questions, we're going to take the first one and then we're going to read a couple of scriptures. What is so significant about this Greek word to the believer? Now remember those three meanings of this one Greek word. Remember the context of what he was saying when Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Was it just his physical work on this earth as far as telling everybody else about God and the kingdom of God? I don't think it was, because in a couple of chapters before then, he said that he had finished the work of God that God had sent him to do. And now he's saying that he's finished it again. So it can't be the work that was done on the earth. It had to be the work that God called him to do as far as dying for our sins. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." If you look at the bottom illustration on the paper, and you'll see about what he's talking about right there. And if you notice how it says the debt is canceled and it's been paid in full, it didn't really come out too good as far as being copied. But if you notice on the left side of it where it says debit, there's nothing there. And if you look on the right side of it where it says credit, it says righteousness of Jesus. So I hope that would illustrate what I'm trying to tell you, is that our debits, our sins, have been canceled out. No more to be in judgment as far as believers. Now, unbelievers is a different story, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But as far as believers, we're never going to be judged. We're never going to come into condemnation. We have been set free in Jesus Christ, which causes us to glorify Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, not because, even though we know who He is and we praise Him for that, but we praise Him for what He's done for us, because we were without hope. Our debits were way over what we could ever pay for. So now we have been set free because of the righteousness of Christ. Remember those two questions that I started off with. How can we get rid of our sin, and how can we gain a righteousness equal to God's? So let's look at Colossians chapter 2. And then we're going to answer those two questions, and we're going to answer our last question, which is, why is this one word so significant to the believer? So chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So this is what is taking place as far as our sin being put on cross, being put on Jesus Christ, being nailed to the cross, and now it's being wiped away. The slate is clean. And the thing about it is, a lot of times when we get out of debt, we got out of debt besides our house. We pay for our cars, we pay for everything. And then we had a doctor bill that came up, and now we're still paying on that doctor bill. So we went from being out of debt besides the house, and now we're back in debt with house and doctor bill. So it seems like it's a never-ending cycle. And my point is that my sin debt has been wiped away. And the good thing is that in Christ is never going to be put back on. I'm not perfect, so we do sin, but my sin will never be counted against me because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's an awesome thing. To understand that, there's no more condemnation, which is what John chapter 5 said. One more verse for the believer, 1 John chapter 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I read that verse and I started thinking, and do you understand what that's saying? That he has not only paid for our sin as believers, but he's paid for the sins of the whole world. The unbeliever who will probably never believe, God has still paid for those sins. He does not pick and choose. He paid for all of the sins of the whole entire world. Okay, so let's go ahead and answer these two questions, and I've got to hurry up. How can we get rid of our sin? It's only through the person of Jesus Christ. It's only through the finished work of Christ on the cross that we can get rid of our sins. How can we gain a righteousness equal to God's? The only way that I know how to is to be in Christ. And once you're in Christ, you cannot get out of Christ, which means my sin is gone and I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Stop and think about that. How righteous are you? I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ. Do I always feel like it? Absolutely not. But am I? Absolutely, I am. All right, last one. What is so significant about this Greek word to the unbeliever? John chapter 3, verse 18. And I'm going to be going through these quick. Verse 18 says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And what this is saying is, Jesus Christ, and we just read those verses, that Jesus Christ has propitiated all sins of all mankind for us never to be condemned by those sins. And then you start thinking, well, why do people go to hell? Well, people do go to hell because the Scriptures tell us that they do. So why do people go to hell? And the answer is because they have not believed on the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's not their drunkenness. It's not them being an idolater or an adulterer or any of those other sins. It's that one sin, which is denial of Jesus Christ, rejection of Jesus Christ, which takes... It sort of takes a burden off of me as far as me having to judge somebody's sins because they've already been judged in Jesus Christ. Mine is, and this is what the believer is called to do, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what God has called us as believers to do. And it's sort of against our nature. We always want to point out the faults of other people. We always want to be the judge. Well, you did this and this is sin. And I'm guilty of that. I do that a lot of times. But this is what God calls us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, and that will be my closing remarks. Verse 17, which is my life's verse. If you ask Samantha, I have dissected this one verse, sort of like I did with John chapter 19. But this is the one verse that really just changed my life. When I understood what this was talking about, there was no looking back. Let's just go ahead and read it. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And that right there is telling me that I will never be like I used to be. It's talking about a habitual lifestyle. And like I said, we all sin. We all stumble from time to time. But it's a habitual lifestyle. I will never be like that man that I was 10 years ago. And thank God for that. But I will continue to be more like Christ as He sanctifies me daily. So we see that the old man is dead. We ought to reckon him to be dead, but yet I'm alive in Christ, which is one of those paradoxes. So here we go. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So it's not the sins. Our sins have been dealt with. It is finished. The telestai. It's done. The payment's been paid. The sacrificial lamb has been found. The work is finished. No more to be redone. No sacrifice is ever needed again. It has been accomplished. We couldn't do it, but Christ did it, all because God so loved the world. So I hope that you'll be able to praise God tonight and be thankful and understand that we don't have to judge people. It takes a burden off of us that we don't have to judge people, that God has already judged. But yet we are to call people to reconciliation in God through Christ. It's only through Christ. It's not through our works, like Joe has already talked about tonight. It's not through what we can do besides the faith that we put in Jesus Christ and the work that He has already done. And that causes me to praise God. So thank you for your time.